Everybody say amen, amen. Everybody say, everybody say, everybody say, well, everybody say, everybody say, everybody say, well, Mary, see the baby Jesus lying in a manger early one morning. Amen, Lord, amen. See the boy Jesus walking in the temple, and he's talking with the wise men. Lord, amen. See the Lord Jesus walking by the seaside, and he's making him disciples. Lord, amen. See the Lord Jesus. Yes, he's dying now. He'll rise in 3 days now. Well, amen. Everybody say, everybody say, everybody say, Lord, amen. Everybody say, everybody say, everybody say, Lord, amen, amen. The prophet Isaiah, with a golden mouth and silver tongue, waxed eloquently when he talked about the Most High God. He said, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint." It's something about waiting on the Lord. I want to say this morning also, we're happy to have back in service, and she was in our Thursday morning class. Sister Smith is back. Amen. Y'all know she go on vacation, don't know how to come back. Praise God. So we're happy that she's back today, and we certainly want to lift up Brother Harris' brother in prayer today. Because the Lord Jesus said that men should always pray and should not faint. This morning, if you have your personal copy, the world bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of Proverbs. The chapter is 4. And the verse for your consideration is 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. If you have that, say amen. Amen. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Using that text, I want to talk this morning from the subject, the menu of life. The menu of life. The great scholar, the great intellectual Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. And we thank God that he has preserved in the Holy Bible his wisdom that we might be blessed and benefited by. But he gives us a word of counsel. He gives us a word of instruction. And that word is, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, there are other effective translations that have rendered this text. The Everlasting Gospel by Dr. Hugo McCord. He renders this verse, keep your heart under control, for out of it are the issues of life. The New Jerusalem Bible renders this text, more than all else, keep watch over your heart, since here are the wellsprings of life. And the New Living Translation renders this same passage, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything that you do. I really like that rendering. Above all else, guard your heart, because it affects everything that you do. Now, when we look at this text from an exegetical or analytical perspective, what does it mean to keep your heart? Above all keeping, above all guarding, guard your heart. For out of it are the wellsprings, or the issues of life. What are the wellsprings? A wellspring is a stream source. And so you to guard your heart, because there are some things I need to let in to my heart. There are some things I need to keep out. Above all that you protect in your life, protect your thoughts, protect your emotions, protect your mind, protect your thought process. For it affects everything that you do. The one who is wiser than Solomon, Jesus, takes us even to a deeper insight. Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus said, for from within, out of the hearts of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, thefts, an evil eye, blasphemy, lasciviousness, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within, and they defile the man. If your heart is corrupt, your life is going to be corrupt. Your heart is pure, your life is going to be pure. So above all else, guard your heart, guard your thoughts with all diligence, for it affects everything that you do. Out of the abundance of the heart doth the mouth speak. You can't speak what you don't know. Is that right? Out of the heart, the mouth speak. Now, Jesus was the master teacher, and of course, he used in his presentations the educational technique of association, where we learn about something that we do not know by comparing it with something that we do know. In other words, using something familiar to teach us about something that is unfamiliar. So Jesus, being the master teacher, he would always talk about certain things in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like unto. So we understand this thing, and it takes us to a deeper understanding of something else. Jesus Christ said that the kingdom of heaven is like a man that found treasure hidden in a field. Now, all of us can relate to finding some money. Better come on, talk to me. Somebody's misfortune is my fortune. Is that right? So one day a guy said he was at a store and people had a package on the top of the car, and the package fell off. He didn't know what it was, and the car drove off, and he picked it up and saw it was a package full of money. He said, "Hey!" And as he looked, he said, "Hey." Hey. Now wait, I know that he dropped the volume. Amen. So we all can relate to finding something valuable unexpectedly. Then the master teacher talked about those who hear his saying, "I'll show you who he is like. He is like a man who built a house, who laid a foundation, and he dug down deep and found a rock, and he built his house upon that rock, and the rain descended, and the winds blew, and the flood rose and beat vehemently and violently upon that house, but it did not fall because that house was founded upon a rock." We can relate to people going through storms in life. We can relate to people going through hard times and difficult times, and not only surviving those things, but they emerge from them wiser, stronger, and better. So we can relate to that. And then Jesus said the word of God is like a seed that is planted in different types of soil. He talked about the wayside soil. He talked about the stony ground. He talked about the thorny ground. There are people are good, and sometimes people mess up their spiritual life. They don't intend to. But they get so caught up in life, get so caught up in things they gotta do, that they forget about what's most important. Jesus said, "This is the thorny ground hearer that hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." So we can relate to these things. Well, life, brothers and sisters, is like a restaurant experience. Most of us have had a restaurant experience, and most of us have had a menu brought to us. Is that right? And from that menu, we must make selections and choices. Well, life is like that. From the menu of life, we must make selections. We must make choices. So as we share this morning, there are two things I want you to see, my dear brothers and sisters. Number one, I want you to see life insights from a restaurant experience. You know, you can gain insights from anything. You know, I gained some insight from Auburn and Florida State. Y'all didn't see that. I ain't see it coming either, y'all. I ain't see it coming early. It just come out of nowhere. It was like he saw it. But you can gain insights from life experiences, because in life, we all go through experiences. And an experience is involvement or contact with something over a prolonged period of time, either event, persons, or activities that result into increased knowledge and skill. All of us today have experiences, things we've gone through. And we can raise the question, do I learn from my experiences? Have I learned from what I've gone through? Have I gained life lessons from things that I had to deal with? Another question is, or do I gain insights and lessons from other people's experiences? You've heard the proverbial catch 22. You go on a job search, you go and interview for a job, and they give you the proverbial catch 22. You know what that is, right? And they tell you, we're looking for somebody with experience. But in the name of God, how can you ever get experience if you never get the job? And that's why they call it, Bro White, a catch 22. Amen. So when we go to the restaurant, and I'm sure today that some of us have had very pleasant restaurant experiences. It was so pleasant that we went back. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And not only did you go back, but you told somebody about the experience. And not only that, you took somebody back with you. Man or girl, you got to go with me to this place. That food is just off the chain. Man, that food had you slobbing all in your plate. It's just that good. And have you had an experience where you've gone to the restaurant and it was so unpleasant? And you said, I ain't never going back. And not only that, you told somebody about your unpleasant experience. You know, word of mouth gets around. Is that right? You told somebody about how unpleasant it was, and not only that, you are not going to take anybody back because you ain't going back. Well, life is like a restaurant experience where you sit down and they bring you the menu. And the menu is a collection of dishes available. And from that menu, you can make selections. Then you've heard about the appetizer. The appetizer is a small meal that they serve you that is really designed to sort of whet or stimulate your appetite. You say amen to that? And then there is the entree. And Sister Pat will know that's a French word. Praise God. And the entree is the main meal. Now don't confuse the entree with the appetizer. And then after the entree, You got that big money like Brother Sperling, you say, I think I will have dessert today. And dessert is the sweet meal that follows the course of the main meal. Any of y'all ever experienced this? And then Sister Teresa told me, when I announced this, Brother Moss, now I likes the buffet. So I got to talk about the buffet. And the buffet is a serving counter or table where you have different types of dishes available and you can choose what goes on your plate. And I must admit, I kind of like the buffet too. You say amen to that? And they got it all laid. You know, life is like that. Life is a buffet. Life is a menu. And we all make selections. We all make decisions. We all make choices. Is that right? And that's why we're calling it the menu of life. There are some people who confuse the items on the menu. Some people confuse the appetizer for the entree. Some people confuse the dessert for the entree. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is not an appetizer. Jesus Christ is not a dessert. Jesus Christ is an entree. He's the main meal. Because he is the lover of my soul. He wants to be the Lord of my life. He's the entree because he shed his blood on the cross for my sins. He was buried. He rose again for my justification. And he got on a cloud and went back to heaven, sat down on the right hand of God. And he's mediating, ruling, and reigning as the King of Kings and our compassionate and merciful and sympathetic high priest. I tell you, he is not an appetizer. He's an entree. He's the main meal. And do you not know Jesus Christ is the main attraction of the church? And the more people's lives are transformed into the likeness of Christ, the more attractive the church becomes. Amen. So don't confuse when you have your restaurant experience. Amen. And I didn't tell y'all, but you know, I like to drive by one or two. I like that too, man, yeah. Give me a happy meal. Y'all got any pies in there? Well, give me two apple pies. I want a large vanilla shake. I can handle that too. And I'm afraid that some people treat Christ like he's a drive-by wonder. Is that all right? I'm telling you, Christ is not a drive-by wonder. He is an upscale restaurant where you sit down and you have the main course. That's what he is. Now, the final idea this morning in this lesson is the menu of life. You know, in life, you can't choose everything on the menu of life. There are some things on the menu of life that you don't choose. There are some things that's on your plate that you didn't put on there, but you got to deal with. Sister Bernice, when I was a little boy, my mama, God rest her soul, my mama was interested in trying to keep me healthy. I was eating for taste. Yeah. Amen, lights. Amen. And mama, from time to time, Sister Johnson, would cook rutabagas. Marilyn, I hated rutabagas. When I would come home and smell them cooking, I said, it's going to be a bad day today. But Mama was a psychologist, so she played psychology with me. Mama said, I tell you what, boy, if you eat those rutabagas, I'm going to give you some pie. And God knows I sure wanted some pie. But you know, you always try to figure out a way to beat the system. So what I would do with my slick self, when Mama wasn't looking, I raked the rutabagas on the floor. And said, yeah, that sure was good. And now give me some pie. But who was I hurting? Who was I hurting? Mama's objective was to make me strong. And so she put some things on my plate that I didn't necessarily want, but I sure needed it. I'm telling you, there are some things in life people don't want, but they sure do need it. Is that all right? People may not want to come to church, but you sure need the church. You surely need the word of God. Is that right? But there are some things on our plates that we did not choose. You don't choose whether you're going to have trouble on your plate. Sometimes trouble is on your plate and you didn't even choose it. Job was a man who loved God and tried to live right, and yet trouble found him. And so he said, man born of a woman is of a few days and they're full of trouble. Is that right? Trouble, you know, we know that trouble is on our plate. That's why we sing, I'm so glad. Trouble don't last always. That's why we sing, trouble in my way. I have to cry sometime. I lay awake at night. But that's all right. Because Jesus will fix it after a while. And then temptation is on your plate. You don't have to choose temptation. Temptation is on your plate. Amen. Temptation began in the Garden of Eden. The Son of God in the wilderness was tempted. 1 Corinthians 10:13 say, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. And watch this. And will not allow you. Now get this. God will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. I know you may be going through some, but understand this. God knows you have a limit on how much you can bear. And he says, I will not allow you to be tempted above. I know you're going through it. You may say, I wish this would stop. I wish this was over. If I could just get through this. God is saying, I won't allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation provide a way that you may be able to escape. You don't get to choose your parents. You stuck with the ones you got. I sure wish I had another mom. Well, you can wish on. You stuck with the, well, I sure wish I had another dad. Well, I wish I had another child. You don't get to choose your parent. There are some things on your plate you don't get to choose. You don't get to choose your race or your ethnicity. You don't get to choose whether you're born black or white or biracial. You don't get to choose that. You don't get to choose your gender. Now, I know there are some people confused when it comes down to gender. But I'm telling you, God doesn't lie. God doesn't make mistakes. Is that all right? So there are some things on our plate. Life is like a restaurant experience. Life is like having a menu before you, and you must make selections. You must make choices. There are some things you don't get to choose. Amen. But then, as I move to a conclusion, but there are some things, because you can't choose everything does not mean you can't choose some things. There are some things you must choose. So we agree with William Ernest Henley in Invictus when he said, "It matters not how straight the gate or charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." Because in every chapter in the Bible, we are confronted with the sovereignty of God and the freedom of man. Every chapter. Things we get to choose. We face the menu. When you sit down to the restaurant and they say, do you need a little more time to look over the menu? Can y'all relate to that? Well, I'll come back. What you going to have to drink? Well, I'll have a little water, and please give me a little twist of lemon in it. I'm trying to be healthy. Amen. I'll have a little water, and I'll have sweet tea, unsweetened. Amen. If you're a romantic type, you pull out your wife or girlfriend chair and you whisper something sweet in her ear. I say, "Girl, you so sweet, even though I have unsweetened tea. If you stirred it, it'll be sweet. Girl, I get diabetes, but just you stirring it. You just that sweet." Is that all right? So life is like a restaurant experience. And up to this point, we've all made selections. Are you happy with the selections you made? You ever heard of the thing buyer's remorse? You ever had that? Sound like somebody know what I'm talking about. They said, mm-hmm. You bought something you wish you could get rid of. Well, what are some of the things on the menu? Well, I don't get to choose whether I appear at the judgment of God. Solomon said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole," not the whole duty, "the whole of man. For God shall bring every work into the judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil." I don't get to choose whether I appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us are going to have to appear, and all of us are going to have to talk about the selections that we made from the menu of life. But Brother Moss, can I share with you a few things on the menu? Let me give you number one. On the menu of life is the fear of God or pride or arrogance. And we get to select. We select whether we will fear God and keep his commandments, or we choose not to fear God and live our lives from a perspective of pride and arrogance. And a lot of us, I'm going to say that a lot of us don't fear God enough. We got a lot of young folk don't fear God. I know they don't. I was at the store the other day. The guy was in the car listening to the rap music. He had it blaring, and every other word was profanity. Now, brother, if you want to hear that garbage, that's you. All right. But don't make me hear it. Is that all right? Amen. So on the menu, as I face the menu of life, I got to decide, how am I going to live my life? Fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. That's on the menu. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And you know what fearing God does for you? It gives you discipline. Because if you really fear God, you won't live any kind of way. Did you hear me? I said if you really fear Him. If you really fear God, there's just certain things you're scared to do. But then Solomon writes in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we sing, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Amen. And what will He do? He will lift you up. But if you exalt yourself, He will bring you down. Amen. So on life's menu, the fear of God, or pride or arrogance. Number two on the menu is serving God or serving the devil. On life's menu. And all of us have made a selection. Either in my life, I'm serving God or I'm serving the devil. Everybody is serving a master. Brother White read so beautifully, no man can serve two masters. You're going to love one. And the boy sang in his song, he said, trying to love two ain't easy to do. All right? Did y'all respond on that? But some people are trying to love two masters. Notice what Paul says in Romans 6:16-17. I want to quote this to you. Romans 6:16 about sir. He said, know you not to whom you render yourself servants to obey. His servants you are to whom you obey. For the sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked, for you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So whoever you render service to, you're dating a girl, but you ain't got no time for. Soon as you get with her, you doing this here. Now you know what she gonna say. What you keep looking at your watch for? Is that right? Again, I talked about how some folks complain about they hold too long. Well, this is the Lord's day, ain't it? Or is it His hour? Come on, y'all. How many watch all four quarters of Auburn in the Lord's State? They're going to say he watched all four quarters. But Doc, you ain't watched the post game show, did you? Well, I sure did. You hear that, Jay? But when Alabama beat Auburn, I ain't watch it. I turned my TV. I don't want to see no more of that. And they kept showing the boy running the tail. Will you stop showing that? Oh, over and over again. Is that right? Amen. And on the menu, not only is serving God, either we serve God or we serve the devil. What selection will you make? And on the menu, this is a big one, a wisdom and foolishness. What do you select? Wisdom or foolishness? And I got to admit to myself, in some areas of my life, I've been foolish. Amen. I made some bad decisions. Amen. Can you relate to that? Yeah. And the way you started making good decisions, you got to admit you made some bad ones. Right. And so wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And God gives to all men liberally. The Bible talks about a man who was rich, but he was a fool. Solomon chose wisdom. But then he turned his back on wisdom and became the world's wisest fool. Amen. Solomon became the world's wisest fool. Yeah. And then the rich man in Luke 12, God opened the wonders of heaven, Brother West, and he poured him out a blessing so great he didn't have room to receive it. And he said to himself, what will I do? I'm going to tear down my bonds and build some bigger one. I want to tell you, if he had been wise, he never would have been talking about building no new bonds. Instead, he would have been talking about if I could help somebody as I pass along. If I can cheer somebody with a word of song. If I can show somebody he's traveling on, then my living will not be in vain. And finally, let me tell you, the gift of God and the grace of God are on the menu. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. When Christ talked to that woman at Jacob's well, here's a woman, I don't care how messed up your life is. Amen. Here's a woman couldn't keep her marriage together. Had five marriages, now she's just shacking up. Yeah. Now let me just say this. Ain't no Christian got no business shacking up. You got to have a license to fish. Y'all better come up, talk to me. Hello? Man, if you shacking, you being foolish. Jesus. Her life was in moral and spiritual shambles. And I'm afraid too many beautiful women looking for love in all the wrong places. A lot of these guys don't love you. They didn't love what you can do for them. Preach, Moss. Hello? Girl, you know I. Girl, I got it bad for you. Girl, I'm crazy about you. Girl, I love you more than a country hog loves city slop. Now, that was my line back in the 60s. But I done upgraded. Is that all right? This woman had five husbands. She was morally and spiritually dehydrated. And do you not know? Let me say this to you. All of us drank more water. Well, what are you talking? I said drank more water. And that don't include tea and Sprite and Coca-Cola. Amen. Water. Your body is 70% water. And a lot of the illnesses we're having is our bodies cries for water. This woman was spiritually and morally dehydrated. A lot of people are sick because they're just dehydrated. A man had a retreat. He said that people come there for sickness. One of the first things they did was made him drink more water and they felt better. You see Doc drinking his water? He know what time it is. Yeah. And Christ said, I'm going to give you some living water. You drink this water, you'll never thirst again. The gift of God is for you. It's on the menu where you have water. The grace of God is on the menu. And I want to let you know, let me say this to you. I want to encourage you. No matter what you're going through, and I know this because I've lost a lot in my life. Amen. But I know God's grace is sufficient. God says, at your worst, I'm at my best. For in your weakness, bless you, my strength is made perfect. So I don't know, Sister Yvonne, what 2014 is going to bring. But I know him who brings the day. Is that right? So on the menu, as you stand before, as I conclude, as you stand before the great menu of life, what will you select? And let me say to you, if you've been making bad choices, don't keep on making bad selections. Is that right? You can make some better selections. God, help me. Lord, help us to make better choices. Help us to make better selection. I got to make some better choices in 2014. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I got to make some better choices. And as I sit before the menu of life, Lord, help me to make better choices. Somebody ought to say, Lord, I choose you. Somebody ought to say, Lord, I choose you. Is that all right? Lord, you the best that ever did it. Lord, you are a heart regulator. Lord, you are a mind fixer. Lord, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Is that all right? Lord, help me as I stand before life's great menu to make some better choices. Is that all right? Lord, help me to make some better choices. And if I do, Sister Johnson, if I make some better choices, I can join the hymn out. He said, I tried all I could, but it seemed like nothing would do me any good. Then I heard Jesus, Lord have mercy, was passing by. That's when I decided I would give him a try. Oh, it's Jesus. Can you say it's Jesus? It's Jesus in my soul. For I've touched the hem of his garment, and his love, glory to God, has made me whole. Is that all right? When you try him, you can say, the Lord, he's my shepherd, and I shall not want. I made a selection, Sam White. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Is that all right? He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Then he said, surely, 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 somebody said, surely, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell. That's my selection. I'm going to dwell. I stand before life me. I'm going to stay in the house. How long, Sister Smith? All the days of my life. And you'll hear him say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many of them tried the Lord this morning? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He'll give you a love that passes knowledge. He'll give you a peace that passes understanding. He'll give you a strength where you can run with eagles. Mount up and fly like an eagle. Is that all right? Run, not be weary. Walk and not faint. Is that all right? So now as you face the menu, you're sitting down. And they bring you the menu. What you gonna select? I think I have the teriyaki chicken on a bed of rife pilaf. Old Bailey said, yeah, he know about that. Well, you know, he can mess with some food, amen. Is that right? Now remember, this is not a buffet. Hello? You can't, if you want eternal life, it ain't no buffet. You walk around looking at, I get a little of this, get a little of that, I don't want that. I know one thing, if they got rutabagas on that buffet, I won't touch them. Oh, I can't stand rutabaga. But I ain't saying they ain't good, that's just me, precious. Huh? But you know, I've learned, Yvonne. I used to didn't like broccoli, now I love it. Used to didn't like cabbage. Now I love it. Used to didn't like bean. Then, boy, what did you like, boy? What did you like? I like pie. I don't know what I like, Sister Blessing, I like pie. But I learned better. So I got old and started dealing with health issues. And you're dealing with spiritual issues. You got to make better selections. Huh? Is that right? Amen. Here you are standing before the menu of life. You got to ask God, help me to make better choices. Even McDonald's caught on. Do you know now at McDonald's they serve healthy meals, salads, oatmeal? And there was a guy who stopped ordering the Big Macs and ordered the salads, oatmeal, guy lost 30 pounds. And you know why he lost 30 pounds? He made better selections. As he, yeah, the Big Mac's still on the menu. That all right? Sin's still on the menu, but you got to make some. Would you stand, please? That's the message, the menu of life. You're a child of God. You make the choice of continuing in sin or repenting, confessing, and praying. If you're a Christian and you erred from the way, you have a choice of continuing in sin, ignoring your sin, or confessing your sin. Amen. If you're not saved, you ought to make a choice. It's time now to give your life to Christ. Amen. By believing that Christ is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, being baptized or immersed in water for the remission of sin, and that's the best choice you could ever make. Amen. What y'all gonna eat today? What y'all going to eat today? Ain't none of your business. But you're gonna make some selections, aren't you? So as you make your selection, remember this lesson, the menu of life. Lord, help me to make some better selection. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Why don't you hear my humble cry? You know that a while on earth would call. Oh, do pass me by. I'm calling you, say, yeah, oh, say. Why don't you hear my humble cry? You know that while on earth dost thou call. Oh, do not pass me. May be seated.